friendship, worthy of your love, unworthy of everything that you've given me, God. I'm just so thankful for everything that I have, my health, everything that I take for granted. God, thank you so much for all that you have given. God, be with Ron as he brings the message this morning. I pray that it will fall on open hearts and open minds, God, that we will receive your message, that your word the trying times that we are having. God, life is hard for all of us. I pray that you will just be with us as we go about our days, God. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you will do. In Jesus'
ever wanted to throw something before? I mean, can I just be really just honest today that this microphone and me are not getting along? And so I said, I'll turn it on, and I didn't turn it on. And so anyway, I'm new at this. It's my first day. So thank you for understanding and letting me just be real and not perfect. So if you expect that today, I guess give you your money back and let you go or whatever, I don't know. But anyway, thank you for being here. I am the lead pastor of this bunch, believe it or not, and so I'm glad that you've come to hang out with us and just spend this time with us as we get into our brand new series. We had a great Easter last weekend and wrapped up our series, I Am Jesus, and that's on the web, the website, if you want to go listen to those and kind of catch up with maybe something that you missed. Be sure to do that. They are loaded up there. And so today we begin this series titled Friends. And it's one of those series where, you know, many times we think we have friends. Sometimes we even think we're a friend. But the reality is that we're really not. We're just kind of just coexisting. And we're going to talk about that because it's really important. I think that this series could be one of those that changes your life for like years to come, literally. Not that every week can't do that, but this series especially. Because here's the thing, if you get your friends right, I can almost promise you that if you get your friends right, then you're going to get most of your life right. Because your friends have such an influence on you and on I in our lives that we, if we don't get them right, then we set ourselves up for failure many times. And I promise that, you know, we could go aisle to aisle and all that and seat to seat, and we probably all have stories of friends that were helpmates to us, that were friends that lifted us up, and then we got friends that drug us down. And so we know there's a power to that. And it comes down to this truth, and you may want to write this down, that show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. You show me your friends, and I'll show you what your future is going to look like, because it's that important that we understand that. And thousands of years ago, Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, wrote these words in Proverbs 13:20. He says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Now, I've got some wise friends. And I've had some fool friends for sure that have gotten me in some trouble, and at times I was probably that one of those fools that got some other people in trouble. And so it's important that we understand that if you hang out with people that are better than you at things, you'll get better. If you hang out with people who have good marriages, you'll have a better marriage. If you hang out with people that are better at managing money than you, you'll become better at managing money. If you hang out with people that are spiritually more mature than you, then you'll mature spiritually. It just happens like that. The people that we hang out with have such a power in us. You hang out with a bunch of idiots, let me just tell you, That's where you're going to find yourself. It's just going to work that way. People that if you hang out with people that are getting in trouble, they will drag you down to their trouble. It's very hard to pull somebody out of a ditch, right? It's a lot easier to pull somebody down into one. And so you got to understand that. Now, I'm not saying that you don't associate with people that are struggling. You need to wait and listen to the whole thing here, because it's important that we get this right. But if you put those people in influence in your life that are not where you know you need to be, they will eventually get you to where they are, and that is not a good thing. If I look back on my life, and any place that I've ever had success, I can always look and see where God put somebody in my life to lead me in a place that helped me be better. And really, the opposite is true. If I look back on the times that I got in trouble, very rarely did I ever get in trouble by myself. Right? And you know how it is. It just works that way. And so today I want us to begin to build a foundation of friendship. Begin to find out what the Bible says and how we can use what God has given us to make ourselves more of who He wants us to be, to help us be the follower and the friend that He wants us to be. And so what I want us to do, this is foundational to the whole next 4 weeks, is on your program there's a place, and I want you to just take a moment and I want you to write down your closest friends. Hey, everybody. If you're here for the first time, welcome. We're so glad you're here and you've come to hang out. I want you to write down your friends. If you've been here since day one, I want you to write down your friends. If you'll do that for me. It's important that you do this exercise. Now, I don't often ask you to do, but I'm telling you today, just do it. Just do it for me. If you're a friend, write it down. I want you to think about, who are your closest friends? Don't write down your spouse. Now, make sure you understand. Now, I want your spouse to be your friend. They don't need to be your closest friend. Don't write down your dog, because don't write down your imaginary friend. You know, that they don't count. But who are your closest friends? Who are the people, if you've got a flat tire at 2 a.m, you could call and they would come and help you? Who is it that if something was going on, if the tragedy happened in your family, who would be there whenever it happens? Who would be there for you? Who would make sure that they are there? Write them down. Write down your closest friends. Because here's the thing I want to tell you. There is something that sociologists and leadership experts have taught for years. That if you'll take your five closest friends, you are the average of those five people. Now think about it. You're going to be the average of your five closest friends. So almost exactly every time you can look at it, there's going to be some people that are a little better in some areas than you and some that are a little worse. And you're going to be the average of the sum of your five closest friends. Somewhere in the middle, you'll find yourself there. And so, you know, if you're a partier, let me just say, if you're a partier and you had 2 or 3 drinks last night, maybe got a little tipsy, listen, I'm betting there was probably 3 or 4 of your friends last night that had a little too much to drink and were right there with you, right? Why y'all looking at me like that? Like nobody wants to move because you're going to think you're that person. It's okay. Listen, just be honest. We're Baptists. Some of y'all went and drank last night, okay? I'm just saying, you know? So, you know why? Hey, do you know why? If you go fishing, you always take 2 Baptists with you? If you take one, you'll drink all your beer, right? So, now, y'all are like, oh my God, he just told that. Oh no. So, listen, it's a joke, y'all. Relax. People pick on us Baptists, okay? So, you should hear the jokes they tell about the Lutherans. Anyway, just saying. It's just a joke, okay? Come on, relax a little bit. Relax. So don't condone that, okay? That is not what I just did. So we'll talk about that another sermon. But today, if you are that person, then you can look at your friends, and they're probably very close to the same place. But if you're pursuing God with all you got, And you're chasing after him, and you're doing the things that promote spiritual maturity, and you're doing the things that help you grow in your relationship with him, then I can almost promise you there's probably two or three or four of your friends who are doing the same thing with you. Because we are the sum, we're the average of the sum of our five closest friends. And so you got to be able to, you know, you got to look at this for the reality of the truth of it. Is where you find yourself is right in the middle of that. Are you, let me just ask you, are you hanging with the right people? I mean, if you, I'm serious, if you want a better relationship with your spouse, then you need to be hanging with people who have good relationships with their spouses. If you want to be a better parent, you need to hang out with people that have good relationships with their kids. If you want to be more sound financially, you got to hang out with people who are who have a good relationship with their money. I don't mean that they got more of it. I just mean that they use it well. If you want to be wherever spiritually, if you want to grow spiritually, then you need to be hanging out with people who are growing spiritually. It just works that way. If you want to be in better shape, listen, don't come hang out with me, all right? Just kidding. But don't hang out with the people that eat Twinkies all the time because they ain't got a clue about how to be in shape, right? If you want to be in better shape, hang out with people who are in better shape. If you want to have better friends, hang out with people that are good friends, and you got to be a good friend as well. And so in almost every area, the average of your five closest friends are going to tell you where you are. And so we got to look at it. Are we serious? Is it time maybe to distance ourselves from some people, or maybe draw closer to some others, or is it where are we? You have to decide that, and you have to realistically look at that. And so in this series about friends, let's just take a moment. Let's define friendship. Because see, here's how it's been defined, right? In Proverbs 17:17 in the FBV version. Right, the FBV version says this is what a friend is. A friend is someone you may or may not know well who accepts your friend request on Facebook. This person is born to like and comment on your post to make you feel good about yourself. That's what a friend is, right? Yeah. The FBV is the Facebook version. That's what they want you to believe a friend is. And we all have those friends that are the first one to comment, the first one to like it, the first one to do everything else. And sometimes I just wonder, are they really my friend, or are they just trolling me on Facebook? You know, and so we've got to be aware that this is what society is trying to tell us a friend is, somebody that needs to know everything about us and needs to know that version of us. Right? But here's what Proverbs 17:17 really says. That a friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need. A friend is somebody who's always loyal. And sometimes loyalty is hard to have. It's hard to be loyal to somebody all the time because, you know, we struggle in who we are many times. And we found that this Facebook version is a whole lot easier to maintain than the real version, right? That we can put a facade up and wear a mask on Facebook that we can't really wear in person. But a friend is somebody who's always loyal. And wouldn't it be amazing to have five or six people in your life that were just always loyal to you? That just always had your best interests at heart. Who just took you bumps, warts, and all that stuff all the time and just loved you where you are. Because I'm guessing that probably those of you that participated and wrote down your friends, I'm betting that you had a hard time writing five down. Right? Did anybody write five? Okay, so a couple of you did. Good. So are they real friends, or are they just kind of the people that you spend the most time with? Because that is another distinguishing mark. Sometimes we just hang out with people, but they're really not our closest friends. They're just there. But the majority of us in here would say, I don't even have five people that I could really look at. And so we need to understand that. And the And so having a community of people around us where five or six people who are just always there loving us, loving our kids, loving our spouses, loving our, you know, just wherever we are. I think it would be awesome if we could all have that kind of situation. But here's the truth, that when the Bible says that a friend is loyal at all times, and in the NIV version it's that a friend loves at all times, that loves you no matter what. But see, here's the thing, if we get really upfront and just look at it for what it is, we find out that's not even the case, that we could have those five or six people. The truth is that on average we have about two people in our lives that we could call at any moment and they'd be there for us. That we're almost blessed if we could write down two people that just love us that much and care about us and are there for us like that. Two people. So if it's two now, think about this. 25 years ago, see, the research, that two comes from research that has asked people where they are. But see, 25 years ago, that same research said that the average American had 5 to 6 close friends. So 25 years ago, people were, they had that 5 or 6 people around them. Today, we're lucky if we've got two. So what's happened in 25 years that would cut that so drastically that you and I are at a place where, man, we don't really have many people that we could call on, that we could trust, that we could know that we're just there for us. Well, the truth is that friendships are declining, and why? Here's some reasons why. Number one, that there are increasing workloads. Listen, we're working our tails off. We are working sun up to sundown. Some of us are working multiple jobs. We're working jobs that we are just not, you know, the 9-to-5s anymore. We're working, you know, we're going in early. We're staying late, and we're even working on the weekends. I keep trying to give up this weekend work, but it just doesn't happen. But God, y'all laughed last week. I'm just not funny this week. Come on. So here's the thing. That we're working more and more, so we have less time to build those relationships with people, right? Less and less time. So number two, the second reason that they're declining is there's rising divorce rates. And here's what happens. In those papers that get signed at the end of the marriage, it divides up all of our stuff. You get this and I get that, and you get this thing and I'll get that thing, and then, okay, well, you get the kids this weekend and I get the kids next weekend, and oh, by the way, that's my friend. You can't be friends with him anymore. And we may not write that in the papers, but that's what happens. And many times it's the friends that pick sides, right? They're friends, you know, with the wife, they go with the wife. And they're friends with the husband, they go with the husband. And so before long, now you've even lost those people that were in that list because they've gone because of the situation with you and your ex. The third thing is this, the explosion of social media. The explosion of social media has drastically declined what friendships really are. See, we use technology around here. I checked in on Facebook right before I got in. I did, because that lets people know that we're here and that things are going on. And so we, you know, it's a way that we get to encourage people to come. We post our message notes on there so somebody can come and click right on that and open them up, and you don't have to have your little program. You can pull it up right on your phone or tablet. Then, you know, or if you're not here, later this week, listen to it on a podcast so you can pull it up and look at it the same as if you were here. I mean, we use those things and we leverage them as a church. They are important, right? They have some good uses. I think we would all agree that you can use Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff. You could use it in a great way, but it does have its drawbacks. Social media is one of those things that really allows us to kind of break up with face-to-face relationships. It allows us to totally avoid, you know, that face-to-face confrontation of, and not even confrontation, but just face-to-face interaction with someone that we have known for years. You know, I think about all the people that I used to know and have really close relationships and spend time with, and now we were pretty much regulated to messaging on Facebook or just liking each other's posts about our kids or whatever. We've come down to where that's really all we have left. We're even calling people that we don't even know friends on social media, right? I mean, Facebook has brought the meaning of the word friend down to a very low level. People I've never even met in my life are my friend on Facebook. I don't know anything about them. And they barely know anything about me because all they know is what I may share. And it's funny how often we run into people and we say, oh yeah, my name's Ron. It's nice to meet you. Yeah, we're friends on Facebook. Friends? And we just met? I mean, really? So when it comes down to our real friends, those people that have been around for a long time, it begins to water down the juice a little bit. It begins to thin it out so that we don't even find time to spend with those that we really have a desire to be around. And then what we do is we become somebody totally different on social media. That we don't even post the really ugly stuff about us. I mean, come on, we take selfies, and if we don't like it, we delete it, and we take another one, right? We stick our lips out a little bit more, or whatever, or get a little bit higher, so, you know, whatever shows, or, I mean, whatever. It's, you know, that's how we do it. If we don't like it, we delete it, and we never share it. Man, I just want to, I think I'm just going to post some ugly selfies. You know what I mean? Like some real, like wake up first thing in the morning. That's what we need to do. Get up, hair sticking up, you know, and just take a picture and share it. This is what it really looks like, right? We don't ever do that. I mean, I'm kind of glad that some don't, but that's okay. A little paint on the barn first thing is a good thing, you know, but you know, we allow that to become who we are. And so social media has brought friendships down to not even having a real conversation with anybody. And so we need to understand that friendships are declining, but yet the Bible encourages us to have friends. And you need to have them. They need to be in your life to spur you on, to help you become more of who you're meant to be able to really appreciate and allow the good news of who Jesus is to work in you through to them and encourage them as well. And so we're just going to spend some time this next few weeks just digging into what is it about friends. You know, next week we're going to look at the series or title of We're Just One Friend Away. See, some of us, we're just one friend away, that one person in our life who could change the whole direction that God wants to bring into our lives, to allow that person to be an encourager and someone who helps us to become all he wants us to be. The next week we're going to be, we're one community away. See, I believe that we are made to be in community. Even me, as much as an introvert as I am and as much as I could go home and lock the doors and stay inside and, you know, watch, you know, Netflix all day or whatever, or, you know, ESPN, I need community. I love coming here on Sunday and hanging out with you guys because it just is fulfilling, because that's how I'm wired and that's how you're wired. God made us for community. And then the last week was going to be pretty interesting because we're going to talk about unfriending. How sometimes we've got to build that space in between us and the people in our lives that maybe are holding us back from being all that God wants us to be. And how do you do that? Because we're called to love others as ourselves. And that's seems like a real dichotomy there of, okay, well, if I'm supposed to love others as myself, but I know they're dragging me down, how do I do that? And we're going to look at what the scripture says about that. So that's where we're heading in the next few weeks. But here's what I want us to do with the rest of our time today is I want us to talk about rediscovering the art of friendship. So I think we really need to understand what it is and how do we get back to it. Not, and maybe somebody would say, gosh, I came here to learn the Bible today. I came here to get some good scripture. Well, listen, you're going to get it because the Bible says that Jesus is a friend and that we're to be friends, that we're to encourage people. And so today is very much about who God has created us to be in this world that we're in. And so rediscovering the art of friendship, man, there's a ton of things that we could write about. Ton of things we could talk about. We could do a whole series just on this one topic. But today, as we look at it, I had to narrow it down. So I brought it down to the two things that I think can totally change how we are friends, right? How we become friends to other people. And that's what I want us to spend our time on today. And so the first thing is this, if you want to write this down, the first thing is, if we're going to rediscover the lost art of friendship, is that we got to be present. We have to be present. Learn to be present. Here's what I want us to do. I want you to repeat after me. All right? Everybody in? Some of y'all didn't write down, but I just want you to say this with me. I will develop my friendships face to face and not thumb to thumb. I will develop my friendships, face-to-face, not thumb-to-thumb. I get it sometimes a whole lot easier to just text somebody something. I get that. And sometimes I even tell y'all, listen, sometimes if you just text me, and I'll see it and I'll know. Sometimes that doesn't even work, right? So sometimes it just, you know, you get six or seven in a short period of time, and sometimes they just sink down. So, listen, sometimes we do that, and I always say, listen, if you text me and I don't respond in a reasonable amount of time, you better call me. And please do. You won't bother me. Just call me. It's not that I'm avoiding you. If I was avoiding you, you'd know it. But it's just that it's just sometimes that happens. But we spend so much time thumb to thumb that, you know, I even in my head, y'all, I'll get a text message, and I totally reply to it in my head. Totally. Oh, yeah, I get that. I'll be there. But I never do it with my thumbs. And so now we got a whole break in the communication link that needs to happen that doesn't. And so we've got to be willing to develop friendships where we can communicate more than just thumb to thumb through social media or texting or whatever. We've got to develop these friendships so that we grow in who we're supposed to be. So we're gonna have face-to-face conversations because presence matters. It matters that you're there. And listen, I know sometimes that I'm physically present, but mentally I'm not. Right? Are you with me? Because you got things going on and you got stuff happening and you're there and somebody's talking to you, but your brain is somewhere else. You know, kind of like half of you, like right now, you know, it's kind of like it just happens, right? Because you got stuff going on, and I get that that is how it is. Sometimes our kids are starving for our attention, and even though we're right there, we're not. Sometimes, you know, I'm not going to encourage you to be your kid's best friend. You should never be your kid's best friend, right? You should be their parent. But there should be a relationship there so that you keep that communication open, right? And that comes from being present in that relationship, being there to let them know that you have that. I mean, think about how Jesus did it. Jesus didn't say, hey, you guys, I really want you to follow me, so I'm going to get, here's a book. Take this book, go read it, and I'll tell you all you need. Is that what he said to the disciples? He said, come what? Come follow me. Come hang out with me. Come eat fish with me. You know, come, let's go hang out on the boat. Let's go do things together. Let's walk from here to there so that we have time together. He spent time with the disciples growing that relationship. He could have easily just wrote it down. You know, and that's, you know, for you and I, we have the scriptures. We have that relationship written down so that you and I can look at it and grow from it and all of that and know who he is and how he wants us to live. We have that, but we also have his presence. He promised that we would have him with us when we accept him as our Savior. So he's there with us, and he was there with them, and we need to understand that that's how we need to grow our friendships as well. See, it's interesting that in research, as I was researching it, I found that our children, parents, listen, our children are more dissatisfied with their parents' obsession with technology than parents are with their children's obsession. Think about that. The kids are more upset about us and our technology and use of it than we are about their use of technology. And I don't know about y'all, but it gets on my nerves how much my kids have, you know, the iPad and the telephone, you know, and texting and all that. And so research says that they're more upset about our use of it than we are about theirs. And why is that? It's because we're not present when we're with them. It's because they see the break in our relationship with them because we've always got our face stuck in Pinterest, right? Pinterest accounts. Be honest. Come on. Get them up there. Guys, y'all too. Y'all know you got them. All right. So we're stuck in it. Y'all ever heard the thing? Mom. Mommy. 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 Right? My house is daddy, 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 daddy. I mean, anytime I'm around, it's like 100 times. And you know what I realized this week? There's a reason why it's like that. It's because I'm not present the first 4 or 5 times they say it. That's pretty tough. See, our kids are missing out on the relationship with us because we're spending time somewhere else. And we're missing out on friendships and people in our lives that can influence us and help us and grow us and make us more of who we were created to be because we got our faces stuck in our phones. I mean, come on, you go to a restaurant, if there's a family of four, you know what they're doing. All like this. Right? None of them. Nobody's paying any attention. And so we're going to have to be present to have relationships with people so that we can be the friend that we're supposed to be. Whenever we get in somebody else's presence, we're going to have to be willing to put our phones down. I mean, I get it. It's hard because we... You know, we got people calling and texting and looking for us and needing us. And I know y'all are important people. I get it. Me too. In our own heads. But we need to put our phones down and be present so that we have opportunities to build these relationships with the people that God has put in our lives. Hebrews 10 verse 24 says this, Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Think about it. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And in some translations it says, let's spur one another on. Let's push each other to do good things together. Right? Why should we do it together? Because that's what we were created for. We were created for that, to be in community, to do things so that we encourage people and so that we help people. Just when was the last time you just got together with some of those people on your list? And I'm guilty here. Come on, I'm not throwing stuff at you. Man, I'm just telling you where I've had to kind of sift through all week. But when was the last time you got with those people on that list and said, hey, you know what, let's go help somebody? I couldn't tell you the last time, right? I mean, I've done that with you guys, and I mean, so y'all are my friends, but some of y'all won't answer if I call at 2 o'clock. So, you know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, when was the last time that you got together with your closest friends and said, hey, let's go do something that helps somebody? Probably don't have to answer that out loud, do we? But it says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us find ways to do good things And so, and here's why. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. All right? Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. In the Greek, that word meeting was used two different times in the Bible, and only two different times, that word. And it means to physically, to meet physically with a spiritual purpose. So he says, so let's not give up meeting together for a spiritual purpose as some people are doing. Because listen, sometimes churches are coming together and we're not coming together for spiritual purposes. We're coming so that we can check it off our list. We're coming so that we can say we did it. We're coming so we just make somebody else happy. Sometimes, I mean, I get there's all kinds of reasons, and whatever your reason is, I'm glad you're here today. But the Bible says that let us not give up meeting like this because there's a spiritual purpose that needs to come from it. That all of us need to see that there's something more to this, that as we come together, let's encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. See, let's move each other on. Let's spur each other on. Let's encourage each other. Let's begin to develop friendships. Let's be the friend that we're supposed to be so that we can be together and do the things that God wants us to do so that people can see who He is and come to begin a relationship with Him. Like, that's got amen written all over it, y'all. Let's do it. Let's come together so that we and develop friends so that we can meet together for a spiritual purpose of wanting to see other people come to know Jesus. Let's let this be a time where friendship, the art of friendship, means that we develop relationships with other people so that not only do we have those people around us that are close, but that we can come together and be willing to go and just do whatever it is that God asks us to do. Now, that's not as hard as it sounds. It may just mean that we put our name on the list for community table. Maybe it just means that, hey, we go and we rake somebody's yard together. Maybe we just go mow it, or I mean, what? It could be easy stuff, but let's develop friendship so that God uses us. Some of us come in and we are hurting. Some of us come in, we've been putting up that whole Facebook facade thing so long that, man, we even wear it into church. We're afraid to let people see who the real us is. You know, sometimes I tell some stuff from up here that I'm thinking, man, I can't believe I said that. But I'm saying it because I want to always be honest and open, and I want you to know that I don't have all this figured out. The God called me to do this, but He didn't snap His fingers and make me perfect. He just made me a man that He just wants to use to do it, just like He wants to use you to do things. None of us have this figured out, but it's bringing it together so that we can be real with one another. See, maybe you've already heard, but today we're going to have an opportunity to come together and join and become part of life groups together. And life groups are just small groups of people that come together and begin to build these friendships where we can have people in our lives that when things go south, that we got people there to hold us up and to help us out. And we got people there to bring us along and help us begin to learn more about who God is and who He wants to be in our lives. To help us whenever, you know, things just, you know, are going really good. And we got people there to celebrate with us. I mean, I know we always talk about friends and how they're supposed to be there when things are bad. And what about just having people to be happy with? You ever just wanted to do that? To just have people to celebrate all the good things. And unfortunately, sometimes we don't even have that in our lives. See, there's something that happens when two or three people come together and begin to learn more about each other and to know who each other is and where they are and what's going on so that then they can begin to let God use that and look in His Word to find things to spur them on, to begin to fill in many of the unhappy places that we find ourselves. We find that in life groups. I know many times I've found myself just searching. You know, back last year, I went through a pretty difficult time. I had some friendships that did go south. I had some people that I thought were friends that ended up not being quite what I had thought they were. I mean, I think we've all experienced it in our lives, but I got to a place where, you know, I looked up and I didn't have anybody around me that I had been building that relationship with, so that when I found myself struggling in that moment, I didn't have anybody to go to. And man, it was a depressing time in my life, because it began to mess with me so much that I took my focus even off of God in my life, in the sense of just letting Him be my friend. And I found myself just kind of putting myself in a closet, holding on, you know, and not letting anybody else in. And I think for many of us in the room, even maybe at this very moment, that may be where you are. That you found yourself without anybody else around you that you feel like you could go to and be honest. I mean, as pastors, listen, it's sometimes really difficult to find people that we can be honest with, because everybody has this one expectation, and it's really hard to ever just open up and let that be true. But listen, that's really in anything. You know, police officers have a hard time opening up to people that aren't police officers, and CPAs have a hard time opening up to people. There's things that we all go through and where we are that only people that have gone through it understand. And when we develop those friendships and we develop those relationships in our lives, we can go through that. So that I had to go, and I went back to some old friendships that had kind of dwindled down to Facebook relationships, and I had to go be that friend in order to have those friends. I tell my oldest daughter that all the time. Listen, if you want friends, you got to be a friend. And I think for us as believers and followers of Jesus, if that's who we say we are, then listen, we're going to have to go be that Jesus friend to some people, in order for them to then be able to develop that relationship back with us. But you got to be present. The second thing is this, that you got to get open. Be honest. You know there's a new phobia? Check this out. New phobia. It's the fear of talking on the telephone. It's true. I'm not making that up. Now, I may make up some silly stuff to get that. That's true. There is a new phobia. It's the fear of talking on the phone. And here's what happens. People call you and you don't answer the call. You check the voicemail and you text them back. Right? Don't raise your hand, but you're in the room. We're probably guilty, a lot of us. We've become afraid to talk on the phone. And here's why. Here's why people say they're afraid to talk on the phone. They can't control the conversation when it's live. But they can craft that perfect text to say exactly what they want so that they don't hurt any feelings or they don't say anything wrong. And they don't have to be told anything that they don't want to hear. So there's this fear that now that we don't want to talk on the phone because of that, but the opposite of that is that social media and everything else has begun to decline our friendships because we don't have face to face, and so we need that, but we're afraid of it, and so our culture has developed this cycle now that really takes us away from it. And so if we're going to have friends, we got to be present, and we got to get open. We got to be willing to have those conversations with people. We got to be able to get face to face and talk with people again. Begin to just tomorrow instead of texting somebody, just call them, right? And just, you know, if they don't answer, leave them a voicemail. And if they text you back, call them back. That's what I would do it. Just don't text them back until they actually answer the phone. Make them talk to you. Man, there's going to be some mad people. Like, my pastor told me to do it. Now they're going to send me ugly emails. But that's okay. Just talk to them. Just see what they got to say. Make them interact with you. The Bible says this. This is why it's so important that we're able to have conversations, especially as those who follow Jesus and those who say we have a relationship. It says this in James 5:16. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The Bible says that we need to talk to each other, and we need to be honest with each other. We need to be open with each other about where we are struggling. We need to be able to be honest about what we're feeling and what hurts we have and what relationships are not working the way and when everything is just not right, where we can just have that conversation with somebody. It says, confess your sins. And this is to pray for each other. Listen, when was the last time that somebody said, hey, will you pray for me? That you just stopped and you prayed with them. You want to blow somebody's mind? Tomorrow, if somebody tells you, hey, will you pray for me? Just stop where you're at. If it's on the phone, just stop. If you're in person, stop. If you're in Walmart, stop. If you're wherever, stop. And just pray for them. You don't have to be some theologian. It's just really easy. Anybody want me to pray for them? Who? You want me to pray for you? God, we just ask that you would be with Kim right now. God, I don't know what her needs are. I don't know what may be going on with her, God, and I don't need to know. But God, I just pray that you would just touch her where she is, and that you would just hear her pleas of whatever it may be. God, minister to her in Jesus' name. Amen. That's pretty easy, right? We just prayed for her. You can do that. For some of us, that's so uncomfortable. But let me just tell you that the amazing thing is we have a God who we can stop at any moment, any place, anywhere, anytime, whatever we're doing, we can just talk to him. If you want to be a really good friend, listen, begin to develop those relationships where people will ask you to pray for them. And when they do, just do it. See, somebody on Facebook will say, hey, pray for so-and-so and so-and-so. And I'll say, pray now. You need to know if I put that, I prayed right then. Don't just say it, do it. We need to be able to have those relationships so that we can truly be where God wants us to be. Here's the thing. You may want to jot this down. It's not on the screen, but just listen to the words of this. We may impress people with our strengths, but we connect with people through our weaknesses. We may show some really cool strengths, and people might be impressed with what we could do in those. But if you want to connect with somebody, you do it through your weakness. Where do you struggle? What's going on? What's hurting? What do you need help with? Where do you need me to be by your side at? That's where we connect. So listen, being a friend is not that hard. Having friends sometimes could be. But here's the thing I know, that if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And if that truth is all to you that it is to me, then I want to have those friends in my life that are moving me on towards where God wants me to be. So today, it may be that you need to be here for week 4when we talk about how to love somebody from a distance. Because I don't want you to walk away from them. But you might need to put some distance between you and them. Today, how do you be a friend? How many friends do you have? Are you just impressing them with your strengths, or are you allowing yourself to connect with them in the weaknesses to really be the friend that God wants you to be to them? Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to just learn about who it is that you want us to be, God. You have created every single one of us for a purpose. Created every one of us individual and unique. God, you created us to have a relationship with us. God, you also created us to have relationships with each other. For those in the room today, God, that have come into a relationship with you where they've acknowledged the fact that you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross to pay the price for their sins, and that he did that willingly there, God, on that cross, and he was taken off, he was buried, and on the third day was raised again. God, so that they could be forgiven of their sins and they could enter into an eternal relationship with you, God. For those in the room that have that, God, you've created them and you desire and you love that relationship you have with them. But God, for those in the room who've never come to that place, God, there's a distance between you and them that they can't fix on their own, that they can't do enough stuff, they can't be a good enough friend to everybody else to be restored into the relationship with you that you desire with them. And so God, today, I pray they would come to a place that they understand that, God, you love them so much that you gave your very best. That as we celebrated last week, that your son Jesus came to earth, died on that cross, was buried, but God, you raised him again so that their sin would be paid for and they could have that eternal relationship with you, God, that today would be the day they would just acknowledge it. That God, they would truly accept the friend that sticks closer than a brother, that the friend that is there at all times in good and bad and is there to just love unconditionally. So God, I pray today if someone doesn't know you that this will be the time that they make a decision to accept you. God, for those of us that have, then God, I pray today would be the day we truly look at our friends and where we are and who's around us. And we make some hard decisions. But God, are we to continue here or are we to move forward to where you want us to be? And that God, we let you guide us all the way through so that we become that person that you truly did make us to be. So God, in these next few moments as the band plays and as we just have a time to reflect on who you are, God, may we look at our relationship with others. May we look at our relationship with you, God, and make a decision on what we need to do next based on that. So God, I pray that you would move in these moments. God, maybe there's some friends that we need to forgive. Maybe there's some friends that we need to go say I'm sorry to, that we need their forgiveness for not being the friend that you want us to be. God, whatever it is today that you need to do, may you do it in our hearts. Amen.
Life.